Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. The EU's foreign policy head, Joseph Borrell, laments the West has failed to win the battle of narratives when it comes to Ukraine. Well, that's not the only battle of narratives the West is losing. The entire neoliberal project is being called into question, its legitimacy quickly eroding. Crosstalking Crisis of Legitimacy. I'm joined by my guest, Arthur Clairaut in Toronto. He's a liberty advocate and a freelance editor. In Ossining, we have Don DeBar. He is a political commentator and analyst. And in Beirut, we cross to Marwa Osman. She is a university lecturer and a political commentator. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Let's go to Beirut first. Marwa, I marveled at the blog that Borrell likes to write every single day about his travails in foreign policy representing the EU. And he lamented that, you know, their narrative on Ukraine, they can't get the global south on board. What's wrong with these people? And it's really quite amazing how he is a prisoner of his own ideology, and the same applies to Western elites. I mean, their former colonies won't get on board. It's really, truly extraordinary how out of touch these people are. We're going to talk about domestic issues in the West, but I want to start out with foreign policy. Why can't you people get on board with your old colonial masters? Go ahead, in Beirut.
Well, we are being bombed with the same weapons that they are sending to Ukraine for its freedom and democracy. They tried the foreign policy of so-called freedom and democracy, which is basically the foreign policy of hijacking resources from the global south ever since they took over from Great Britain, ever since we moved on from being colonized by Britain to colonized by the French and then colonized by the United States of America. So we've been bombed by them, sanctioned by them. They've been helping everyone and anyone who can basically put a hand on us, maybe steal our resources and prevent us from having a say in self-determination in our own countries in the global south. So why should we trust their propaganda and their media machine against Russia when we have seen since 2014 how Donbass, how Luhansk and the rest of the eastern part of Ukraine being bombed into oblivion and children's being killed, families being torn apart by the same Western machine that's killed us before and colonized us before. Why should we believe them? I pretty much believe that their campaign has failed and their contempt against the global south is funny and it's also, to be honest with you, some sort of a prejudice against us holds them in an exceptional or a self-implemented exceptional position, which is the usual maybe U.S. and Western exceptionalism and hierarchy that they believe they have over the rest of the world, especially the global south, and we should just follow suit. I don't think that's the case in the global south. We already have our own problems, but at the same time, we are very well aware that this campaign will not stop at Ukraine or Russia. It will move on. It will touch us again, but this time we'll be well ready and prepared for it.
You know, basically the same question to you, Arthur, in Toronto. I mean, the at the G20, which the G7 countries in the G20 hijacked it and basically paralyzed it, torpedoed its proceedings, and saying, you know, they have to talk about Ukraine's sovereignty, but, you know, they don't want to respect the sovereignty of the global south. I mean, they have sovereign decisions to make their foreign policy, but they're saying, no, you cannot do that. I mean, it's just rank hypocrisy, and they can't even see it. Go ahead, Arthur, in Toronto.
Well, it's a concept that some people have termed the vision of the anointed, right? They have this idea of the way things should be. And I know we've discussed this before on the show as well. And it's so disconnected from even their own populations that you have people here in the West who are waking up every single day and wondering what's going on because they're having the same exact, almost the exact same policies directed towards them as well. It's this top-down kind of tyrannical, you do this or else way of approaching policy.
Yeah. You know, Don, you know, in the same vein here, I mean, in Borrell's famous blog, I mean, I hear he can speak five languages, but every time I hear him speak, it's gibberish. He's blaming Russia for all of the problems with food insecurity. But it's the sanctions. But he paragraphed it, but it's not the sanctions. But it is the sanctions? Why are you talking about it so much if it isn't Western sanctions? I mean, the sanctions, secondary sanctions, nobody wants... You know, it used to be the enemy was the Department of Defense. It's the U.S. Department of Treasury. It's the true enemy right now. So, you know, why should anybody touch this? Nobody wants to be punished for it, okay? And what? And because of this process here, people are going to flee the dollar. They're going to flee all of this. The new trade relations, they don't need to put up with this nonsense, this lecturing from the G7 within the G20. Go ahead, Don.
First of all, to just get a little framing with reality around that issue, last year, 9 million plus people died of starvation in the world. The year before, 9 million plus people died of starvation in the world. The year before, et cetera, et cetera. Largely, this is a result of U.S. foreign policy. Had nothing to do with Russia, Vladimir Putin, little fairy dust angels flying around, or anything else. This is a result of the United States, in essence, sucking the resources out of much of the world at gunpoint. If you take a look at Germany, it's still occupied by the United States militarily. Japan, Okinawa, still occupied. Korea, still occupied under the original Japanese occupation. Around the world, you have this. You have the new occupation of Africa, the product of Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and Hillary Clinton with AFRICOM, SOUTHCOM in Latin America. And by the way, in terms of sovereignty, I don't know how Blinken can utter these words. What's the Monroe Doctrine? Is he repudiating that?
That's such a good point. You know, Arthur, you know, the whole issue of sovereignty in the rules-based order, just as, you know, an aside, do you know what rules-based order means? I mean, almost every single program I have, I do this really quick quiz. What is the rules-based order? Because I can't find any coherent definition for it. Arthur, do you have one?
I don't okay. Have one. I would actually love to hear one.
How about Marwa? Just since we'll go around real quick, do you know what the rules-based order is?
I think it's the CIA guidelines that they put forth for all the colonies that they think that they run, and we're supposed to just abide by them and say, yes, master, yes, but this is not happening anytime soon. I mean, the U.S. has been going on for 7 illegal wars all across the world since 2011, and no one has said anything about it. They've been bombing Yemen. They have foot on the ground in Syria and the eastern part of the Euphrates, looting Syrian oil.
So they are looting Marwa, just oil. Just to get real quick check here. I mean, since Saudi Arabia is attacking one of the poorest countries in the world, were there any sanctions? If there were, I didn't hear about it.
They gave them the highest position in the Human Rights Council. They are audacious, no self-respect, no dignity. While they were bombing weddings and funeral processions in Sana'a and elsewhere in Yemen, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia was given on a silver platter the highest position in Human Rights Council. What human rights have they figured out lately that they have killed more than 52 underaged personnel who they arrested within the age of 9 years old to 15 years old. They stayed more than 10 years in prison, and then they were executed for no reason other than having a political voice. Other than that, incremental genocide in Yemen, killing people without any self-defense, people having bombs fall on their heads, bombing the same areas more than 15 times in less than 2 years. Well, it's crazy in Yemen,
and, you know,
and
what?
People know nothing about it.
I'll tell you how they're going to be rewarded, because the Biden administration is going to drop any kind of arms embargo against Saudi Arabia. That's their reward here. Don, I don't want to leave you out in the cold here. Rules-based order, because when Blinken says it, I always ask for a translator, because I don't know what he's talking about. Don.
The rules are based on our orders. That's what it means.
Okay. I've never had such short answers from my guests here. All right, we'll go back to Arthur. I mean, one of the things I would posit is that the global South, not only do they not respect the West anymore because of its ridiculous ideological pronouncements, but they're not afraid of the West anymore. This is a tipping point. Go ahead, in Toronto.
I think there are a few reasons for that. One of them is that the West has spent the last decade or so undermining itself to itself.
Yep.
That can't help anyone's faith in it, much less, I mean, not its own people, not the people they're trying to impress around the world. The West has an issue of not creating win-win situations for the people they work with. That's always going to come back and bite you. And then secondly, they have this hubris under which they act, where they find an agenda that they feel is important and they push towards it, almost blind to any other option or anything out there. And on the way towards these sorts of things, now it seems to be this climate crisis thing, whether it's Ukraine, climate, whatever it is, all of these things are implementing really destructive policies that are causing food shortages around the world, are causing prices to rise over here in the West. Big problems.
You know, Don, you know, when, you know, one of the things, you know, the G7 met before the G20, and I've always sounded very curious that the problems that they want to discuss and solve come from the G7 itself, okay? That is the thing that, you know, no one wants to point that out. It's an inconvenient truth, but it's really true. Go ahead, Don.
It is true. Take a look at one small slice that actually is kind of fundamental to the economies in general. And that is the price of petrol in the West right now. It's clear with the removal of Russian oil and gas from the markets here that the entire Western economy has been subsidized by Russia for quite some time since that condition came into being, because the removal of that subsidy has created a serious problem for every market that rests on top of it and the fundamental one itself. So what we're looking at here, I mean, look, Adolf Hitler in 1924 in his little jailhouse tome, writing about the pathway to empire for Germany, you know, was ruminating over the fact that all the other colonies had been taken and the place that Germany needed for raw materials and a slave labor force was the Soviet Union, particularly Russia. And the plan was to incite internal ethnic differences, whatever contradictions they could find to excite them, incite warfare inside, basically, and split it up into multiple.
Well, Don, I have to jump in and we have to go to a break here, but it's amazing how bad ideas have an echo through history in 2022. All right, I'm going to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on the crisis of legitimacy. Stay with RT.
Эти русские мальчики не меняются. Война, революция, русская рулетка. Умереть, пока не успел состариться в 19-м, 20-м, 21-м веке.
Работа в режиме нон-стоп, она, конечно, неважно, какой квалификации ты специалист, все равно люди устают. Превалирующая. Это является минно-взрывной травмой.
По нам начали отрабатывать эти минометы уже, так скажем, прицельно. Ну и ножки перебило мне немножко совсем.
Население, в принципе, относится к нам положительно. Отрицательных моментов в общении мы не замечали.
Спасибо вам всем, до свидания.
Жизнь человека, она вообще бесценна, поэтому мы, кто трудится и старается помочь, наверное, каждого пациента пропускаем через себя.
Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing the crisis of legitimacy. Okay, let's go back to Beirut. Marwa, one of the things I find really disturbing and really quite dangerous in our times is that These global elites, primarily the Western elites here, they feel that they still have the right to decide the global agenda. Now, their portion of the economy is shrinking with every passing year. The most important growth areas are in the East and the global South right now. But they still, they're at the adult table and everybody else is at the children's table. And that's turning into a real problem here, because what we see now, and Ukraine has put a focus on it, but, now what we're seeing huge populations in the world saying, no, we're not going to do it that way anymore. The problem with that is that the West, with its ideology, because I believe they are so messianic in their belief in themselves, they can be very dangerous. As one of my guests said on my program recently, they're in panic mode. You don't trust people that are panicking. Go ahead, Marwa.
Yes, and especially that our countries are suffering as it is from either financial crisis or economic crisis or whatnot. But what was really striking to me what happened less than a week ago when I read the transcript of Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State and most probably the upcoming presidential candidate in the U.S., when his speech at the Hudson Institute, where he called it the Global Alliance for Freedom, and he said that we should be defending three lighthouses of liberty, and these three lighthouses are none other than Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. They are still building grounds for attack and aggression against both Russia and the global South. Added to that, China. So they are building grounds for a very, very serious World War III that we have never seen something like this, because it's not only with weapons, it's with the economy, and it's with cyber attacks as well. So what we are looking upon is people who are not only cut out from reality on the ground, especially in the Global South and with the problems that we have in the Global South, they are still adamant on going forth with whatever evil, aggressive plan that they have for us in the upcoming couple of years, less than 10 years time. So I think that they are just basically crumbling one piece at a time. But this plan, if they put it into actual implementation, it will definitely be the last breath for the empire and its Western allies anywhere in the world, not only in the Global South.
Well, if the past is any kind of preface for the future, Marwa, they're going to fail, because I can't think of a success for a very long time, depending on how we define it here. Arthur, if I could focus in a little bit on domestic politics in Canada and North America in general, what I find really remarkable in looking at public opinion polls, when you ask the elites what's important to them, wokeism, the environment, climate change, and all that, which I'm not going to completely dismiss all of them out of hand. But if you ask average people, they have a totally different list of things that they're interested in here. The elites want to drive something. It's like, get an electric car. Well, what if you're an hourly wage earner? I mean, what does an electric car cost? Like $60,000, $80,000? I mean, these people don't know what the price of a liter of gasoline is. They don't know what the price of bread is, but they're the ones that decide what the agenda is. When you have inflation, that's the one thing that everybody feels, even if you're rich, because actually inflation is really good for rich people because you can pay your debts easier. That's how they know inflation is there. But it's a good thing for them. For the rest of us, it's awful. Go ahead, Arthur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's funny because it's like you said, there's this crisis where their agenda is wonderful for them. It's almost the worst thing possible for everyone else. For everyone else, it's high prices of food, high prices for gas, high prices for property, for everything. And this has been going on for about 20 years. It's not a it's not a new thing, although it has escalated by leaps and bounds over the last two. And that again goes back to their policy making ability and their decision making, which again is very ideologically possessed. It's almost like a new form of Lysenkoism, where it's like, I have this ideology, this needs to be implemented everywhere, and no matter what the consequence, it's going to be good. And if you don't think it's good, or if it hurts you, well, that sucks. You need to keep your mouth shut, because it's going to be good regardless.
No, that would say, Don, that dovetails very, I'm really glad that Arthur said that, because that really dovetails into this cancel culture thing. I mean, first of all, these elites push policies that do not negatively impact them, it negatively impacts us, and if you complain about it, then you get canceled for it, okay? I mean, not only do these people not believe in democracy, they do not believe in freedom of speech, okay? And this is what makes them very dangerous, and it's turned them, I think, this neoliberalism into a dangerous cult. Don.
You know, it gives the lie to the idea that you can reform the system, first of all.
There you go.
You look at the tax rate for Eisenhower period, you know, from FDR down to JFK, a number of markers, how many union members there were, wages, you know, against the total economy, et cetera. Much had been won, but power wasn't taken. Power remained in the hands of the people who hold it now, in essence. And as soon as they decided, no, we don't want that anymore, it was gone. The problem now that we're looking at immediately is 40 or 45 or 50 years of austerity programs, really Ronald Reagan, so 42 years at least, and Carter before that, the catastrophe of that economy. You know, we've seen people rising up first in Seattle in 1999 and then in 2011 with the Occupy Wall Street, and then in the 2016 election with the rise of both Trump and Bernie Sanders. You know, these were all marked also with polling data that showed a loss of legitimacy of the institutional structure of this country. And consequently, since, you know, much of the rest of the West rests upon this structure here, of those, the entire empire. And we saw that with Brexit, and there's a movement for Frexit, the yellow vest across Europe, and also in Japan and Korea, that there's a deep dissatisfaction with the existing situation. And rather than try to address the needs and do something in a Keynesian fashion or some other way of buying some peace, they think that with censorship and with more and more aggressive social, which is cancel culture, and even military activity, for example, Ukraine, that they can force a continuing increase of resources into their hands against a compliant population. And it's not going to work. It explodes every time it's been tried in human history.
You know, Marwa, one of the things...
I couldn't agree more, because if you...
Go ahead.
The same thing that your guest was saying, look at Lebanon and now the dispute between Lebanon and Israel over our territorial waters and our gas and oil in Karish offshore oil field, where the Americans are supposedly the mediators between us and our Zionist enemy, and they want to rip us off from the resources that could and most probably will end the financial crisis in Lebanon. Look what they did to Libya by taking out Gaddafi the moment he suggested that there will be an African Union, something similar to United States of Africa. They took him out because of all the gold that he has, because of the oil, all the oil that Libya has. Look at Syria. They began all this global war against Syria, bringing 82 countries for some sort of a global coalition against Daesh, which they created, and they are still funding, especially in Anbar province now in Iraq. Look what they did to Syria. And now when everyone is in crumbles economically, they cannot continue imposing their foreign policy on us because we have nothing else to lose. We have lost everything. Yeah. And Biden is coming to the region, and he has a plan to promote what he thinks MESA, which is the Middle East Alliance, which the Middle East strategic alliance led by Israel, in a world that is now turning around against the U.S. and Israel itself because of all the atrocities it's committing in Palestine and its attempt to steal our resources, whether water from Jordan, oil from Syria, and oil and gas from Lebanon. It's not working towards their own benefit right now. And we, the people, have nothing else to lose. And we will stand by this, and we will not allow them to keep on stealing our lifeline.
Yes, you know, but Marwa, it's all for democracy. Remember that. Don't forget, it's all about democracy here. But that's what
anything that I believe in, that we have democracy right here in the shambles country of Lebanon more than the U.S. will ever have on its land.
You know, Arthur, you know, it's a periphery issue that we've already brought up here. But one of the big, you know, Don gave us a good timeline about how things have changed power relation-wise. But it's the media is one of the most disgraceful institutions that we have right now. The program you're on right now was completely deleted from YouTube, okay? No reason given. I mean, I don't know why. I don't know what rules, okay? okay? They're rules-based order. But see, it's this fear of media that they're so terrified of because they talk about misinformation. But really what they're afraid of, Arthur, is information. They're afraid of people giving others information. Go ahead.
Well, that's because if you have the accurate information you need, if you have the full picture, you're going to make the right decision regardless. And the only way you can herd people into supporting bad decisions is by picking and choosing and giving out of context information, or just not allowing the full range to be shown. This is the complaint so many had here in Canada when RT was banned here. And really what we see, there's a candidate for Conservative Party leader here in Canada who came from the former Soviet Union, and he's explicitly called Canadian media New Pravda. Mm-hmm. And this is the case kind of across the West, where you have these agendas pushed and the media just runs interference for power, essentially. They are basically tools of power.
Don, same question to you about media. Go ahead. 1 minute left.
Well, two weeks ago, I had a media experience with the State Department and the CSCE, the Commission on Security and Cooperation in Europe, where the discussion centered on, sponsored by the State Department, the so-called decolonization of Russia.
Yeah, I saw that.
Theory that the Russian Federation is actually not a nation state, but rather a collection of occupied countries that need to be liberated. This is the U.S. Government's policy.
And we just heard the same thing about the U.S., though.
Marwa, go ahead. Jump in real quick. Go ahead, Marwa.
I could say the same thing about the U.S. Oh, my God, the level of incompetence and ignorance that the media and the West is stooping to is unprecedented. I mean, they call me Iranian-affiliated, Khamenei-affiliated media, and I do nothing except talk about the news that they bring out. I just bring out to light what happens on the ground in my region. I'm an eyewitness for it. And they still label me as someone who is affiliated to Iran or affiliated to some sort of...
All of us are called names. We're all called names because we speak the truth. That's the problem here. That's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in Toronto, Ossining, and in Beirut. And thanks to our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, crosstalk rules.